Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fed.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
Beck, what a man. Oh, my God, you have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware.
Welcome, welcome to Inside the Eye Live here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. As you can tell, this is not The Fetch. This is the Shali Lama. I will be filling in for Dennis The Fetch this morning, and he's traveling, so he asked me to step in. And I am very pleased to be here this morning on Revolution Radio, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. And I'll give you a little bit of background. I was on Oracle Broadcasting. I guess I was lucky enough. I had an in to kind of get in there and, do my program, Cold Reality Radio, Cold Reality News and Report. At the time, and I met a number of people on there, and one of them was Dennis Fetcho. And so here I am today, and he messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm going to be traveling. Let's get you onto my program." So I'll be here for the next 3 hours, and I've got a treat for all of you today. In about 10, 12 minutes, I'm going to have a guest on who I think is, like Dennis, one of the most, the people out there that have the most clarity about what's really happening and what's really going on in the world, here in Nightmarica. And of course, we've got, the Middle East, Dennis has, the scoop on what's going on over there, being in the middle of the chaos. Well, there's chaos everywhere, but the Middle East has always been an area of absolute insanity. And, and there's a good reason for that, because, we are, like we all know, like you, the listeners out there, I haven't connected to the chat room, so. Welcome to those in the chat room. The Middle East has been a breeding ground for a lot of the chaos that, that pulls us in as Americans that have been absolutely and totally flim-flammed by just every area of intelligence or thintelligence. See, a lot of people think that the intelligence agencies are failing, and they failed on 9/11, and they failed here and there. No, they have intelligence. We have, or unfortunately not us, but out there, thintelligence. So that really kind of puts us behind the eight ball. And with the Zionist power that controls America, we're really in a bad spot. I think we've always been in a bad spot. It's just most people have no idea that we are where we are at this moment in time. And then a lot of us kind of, we resort to the, these truther movements and different things like that. And I think that there's a place for everything. also there's manipulators and, you know, the co-agitators and things like that. We get things like the crazy things that you never think that you would ever see, like David Duke on with Mr. Jones. And it's becoming so insane. It's really becoming so unstable that I think we're all kind of on the edge of our seats to, you know, try to figure out what's going on. But as I said, we resort back to the Constitution. We resort back to the Bill of Rights and say, these things are going to protect us and they're eroding right now. Well, our guest today is going to tell us how really the Constitution, and he's going to explain. So let him explain, because, you know, he's got his finger on the pulse of, you know, reality in a sense. I'll let you determine that. I've already kind of got to a point where understanding what he's saying, it's tough because there's a lot of legalese. There's a lot of language that we don't understand. And what it leads to is, if you don't understand who you are, then where are you? If you don't understand, they say in warfare, if you understand your enemy, it's all psychological and all that stuff. Well, man, they've totally psychologically got us. Man, they've really, really, you know, got us in a blender, and they've been, you know, the pulse when you want to. I don't know all the terminology, but the pulp, that's what they're doing. And soon they're going to be like high speed in the blender. So my guest today is going to bring some clarity to that. You might have heard of him. He is his name is Clint Richardson, and he does a program called The Corporation Nation. And I'm going to, as I said, probably about 7 minutes now, I'm going to connect him. And from there, we're going to we're gonna have a conversation. He's saying nice, rainy and thundery one here. So let's hope that we have a solid connection with Clint today. So as I said, Clint's going to talk about a thing called the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is, you can look at that and say, okay, he's going to explain what it is. It's, you know, the financial report for the America, the corporation. The America is a corporation. It's not a country. Okay, we're sold all of these ridiculous things, you know, in a Memorial Day where they memorialize, you know, I my dad was a vet, okay? So it hurts me to say things like Memorial Day is just, yeah, we killed you, here's a day, here's a Monday off or whatever. Yeah, you did this, yeah, you did that, whatever. And we hear all the time about the Veterans Administration failing miserably with, and there's a reason for that. It's not a failure. It's a success for the people that don't want the veterans, the ones that are the trained assassins for the corporation. They don't want them understanding who they are and what they did over there and who they did it for. And so, you know, we have that. We have Independence Day, where we're independent from the that farce. It's all a flim flam. It's all from George Carlin. It's all bullshite, and it's bad for you. And we're going to kind of cover some things today. I'm going to try to stay on things. I want to try to get him to. And he's very good at breaking things down. He is very good at reading the legalese and deciphering it. And he's going to break this stuff down, and he's going to talk about the comprehensive annual financial report. He's going to talk a little bit about Common Core and what that really means, because we are, and this is one of the tragedies of this freedom that we think that we have, is that we are property of the United States of America Corporation, and that's hurtful. I think it's pretty hurtful. I think you'd agree. But a lot of you out there are thinking right now, who the hell is this Dalai Lama, and why is he here saying that we're property of the United States Corporation? Because it's kind of, you hear that thing, oh, so that's the way it is? Oh, yeah. Or just like Bruce Hornsby said, that's just the way it is. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Some things will never change. Anyway, I just wanted to drop some technical information on you. There's a great program out there. If you want to stop tracking, you can a lot of these browsers here. But there's a program called Ghostery, Ghostery. You can block all the tracking. You can add it into your Firefox browser or even your Chrome, your Google, your DARPA browser, and check that out. It's in the add-ons. You can go to Ghostery. I found that out, and it can stop the tracking of your, if you participate in Discus and things. It's very easy. All you have to do is click on it and say, okay, Discus, I want that because I want to communicate. You can open up these portals, and you can shut down the Google tracking and things like that. There's just so many of them. You know, once you click on it, there's some sites, there's an incredible amount, sometimes at least a dozen of these tracking things here. Not that that's going to – they know who you are already, for God's sake, right? You all get an IP address from your provider, so they know. They know who you be. And a lot of crazy things going on. I want to go over the economy. Unemployment rate has been no change there. 142 non-farm payrolls, 142,000 non-farm payrolls, 118,000 private sector. What it is a U-shaped recovery. That's when the lowest and the highest wages dominate the hiring. This squeezes the middle class, as you can imagine, which stunts the economic growth. And, of course, the jobs report is great if you want to wait tables. But isn't that what some of these people have said? John Coleman, some of these other people have said that, they're going to eliminate the middle class, the incredibly rich, and then, of course, the incredibly poor. And we're seeing that happen, and we've seen that happen over the last – well, it's been happening slowly forever, but even more so now, even more so in the recent past. Let's see what else we have. So our economy is garbage. Russia over in Syria bombing ISIS, ISIL, just Al-Qaeda rebranded, Israel's proxy army. Notice how they never say anything about them. But soon you'll see that. It'll be like, oh, and by the way, Israel sucks, they'll say. So, Israel, fuck them. Oh, oops, sorry. Sorry for my slip there. This is a family show, so apologize for that. Okay, so we're just going to get into it here. I'm going to connect with Mr. Richardson, and I think you're going to find Clint to be a fascinating individual, and as I did, and as I do find him, and I think we're going to really kind of open some mental doors here. With the information that Clint has. So, Clint, do I have you?
Greetings.
Greetings. Let me pull your voice level up here. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got there.
Great.
We want people to hear you. Clint Richardson from The Corporation Nation. He is on Republic Broadcasting Network. And that is every Eastern time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday. I've had the pleasure of participating in a roundtable that was quite extensive, and it opened me up to a lot of information. I was a friend of mine kind of introduced me, said, hey, you should kind of listen to Clint, because he's got a lot of really, really devastating information. So, Clint, tell us a little bit about your beginnings, how you got to the point where you are now, where you are doing your radio show and you're dropping these this reality on, you know, the things that I've heard recently have just kind of blown me away about we are property of this corporation, America, which is not a country, but in fact a corporation.
Well, where to begin? I'm actually getting a feedback on myself here, so okay. Maybe I think okay, it's maybe. From you, actually, Shellyak.
All right.
Where to begin? I was in New York for 9/11, watched it from my roof. That was a pretty big deal. I lived on 11th Street, so right between the Empire State Building and the World Trade Center. Watched what happened in those days and that followed, and of course the stores, there was nothing coming in, nothing going out on the bridges or the tunnels, so we had to, well, we went down to the store, and there was a line all the way around the store, and by the time we left the store, there was pretty much nothing left on the shelves. And that was a sort of a wake-up call for me, just the notion, you know, of scarcity, if you will. Moved to Hollywood after that and became a sound editor, sound designer for movies, games, commercials. Was doing really well, had a hell of a resume, and then one day just sort of realized, hey, I'm working for the machine here, doing some propaganda, talking to writers of video games that were always upset because their scripts would be changed to include lines like, thank God Homeland Security was there to save us.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. And they just cringe every time, you know, we'd be doing voiceover, voice recording stuff. And so my last project was a project called Resident Evil 5, where I was the lead sound designer. And it was just so satanic and so demonic. And I just had had enough seeing all the crap that was coming through, and decided to become an activist. And from that point on, which it's been, I don't know, about 10 years now, I've basically just been doing this, learning, mostly reading and discerning information. Met a guy named Walter Burian, who is at CAFR1.com, and he explained to me the comprehensive annual financial reports, and we did a documentary, and it took me three or so years to fully understand how to read government financial reports. And just to give you an example of why that's important, basically everything you ever want to know is in the comprehensive annual financial report, because they have to basically justify, they sometimes call them a justification report, all their expenses, and they have to report everything, all their investments. And so I found out through lots of research that government owns it all through investment. All the stock in corporations, the majority stock is owned by collective governments all around the world, pension funds, all that stuff. I found out that municipalities were, where does all your money go? Well, it's invested, and the investments in municipalities are generally loans to corporations. They're called corporate bonds, low-interest loans. That's how corporations can expand. So most of your taxpayer money goes in, gets invested, and never really helps you in any way. And that set me into motion, really, for everything else, because once I understood the financial situation, I called out all of the followers and Ron Paul himself for not telling people that the CAFRs, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, is actually the audit of the Fed. And we tried to get him to talk about that, but he wouldn't, because you don't talk about the CAFR. It's the greatest open secret in government. Anybody who talks about it or has talked about it on the record has been pretty much forced out of government. It's not talked about on radio. It's not talked about in the media. It's like this secret golden ark, that holy grail that's never talked about. And so when you look at the financial reports, you start to understand a whole lot more about how government works, and that it's simply every single one has a seal and says when it's incorporated. And that's why I call my show and my movies The Corporation Nation. So I made a movie called The Corporation Nation that got me into radio and stuff, and now here I am.
Okay, awesome. I want to now this CAFR report, does that have like absolutely everything that is all the expenditures in there? That or do they just kind of label it as something else? Say, you know, the government spent $10 million on strawberry research, but yet it was actually something, you know, going for something else.
It's not line item specifically per purchase, no, but it'll tell you how much comes in, how much goes out, because the difference between what they always talk about is the budget report. Now, budget report is for the year only, okay? So if I'm looking at a budget report, I'm looking at what comes in for the year, or is supposed to come in for the year, and what goes out for the year. But that doesn't include anything for the past 50, 100, 200 years that municipal corporation has been in existence. So the CAFR covers all investments, wealth, all the returns on investment, and all that stuff, which is not necessarily in the budget report. So what you're looking at is not only just a list of expenditures and income, revenue, they call it, but also all the returns on investments, the reinvestments, and just this amazing wealth of information that shows trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in investments. I mean, you can take just the military pension fund as a good example. Pension funds are the absolute government investment vehicle around the world. The pension funds for the military alone are about $3 or $4 trillion in investments. I like to refer people just to the CalPERS, California Public Employees Pension Fund, and I tell them to go to the investment report, and you'll see with your own eyes as you're going down all the stock investments of government. You cannot find a corporation that particular pension fund is not invested in, for the most part, and that includes all the prefectures that are responsible for the nuclear disaster Fukushima thing, whatever that truly means. All those prefectures, all those corporations that get the oil company, the nuclear companies, those are all invested in, and for all intents and purposes, are owned through shareholder investment by government. So trick to that, and the most important thing about that is not necessarily the monetary value. Government doesn't give a crap about money. Money is to control us. We worship it. It's called mammon, right? So government, who cares about money? But what comes with the investment is shareholder votes, proxy shareholder votes. And so basically the government is the one who, through shareholder voting, they will put their shares, their votes, into a private association, and the private association will vote on behalf of all governments. There's several of those. And, once you pool all those together, you find a majority share holder. All the mutual funds, of course, are a lot of that is government investment into the mutual funds. And so you'll find companies like Microsoft that 77% or so institutional investors. Institutional investors means pension or, you know, public funds, government funds, government investors, that sort of thing. And then you have the individual investors. Bill Gates has 2%, maybe 1% of Microsoft, whereas government I would estimate, has 50, 60, I don't know, who knows at this point, because it's so impossible to put all this information together. There's, you know, over 200,000, 230,000 governments, all with individual investments. So you pull all those votes together, and guess what? You have a majority stock ownership in all corporations by government, not all. You know, you have companies like Walmart that are still in the bloodline and the family, that then the rest of it is institutional holders. But for the most part, these public corporations, public companies, are owned by government. So you realize that. You realize you're in a state of essentially fascism, where the state owns the corporations. Through the proxy shareholder votes, then, the government gets to vote for the board of directors. And the board of directors then, of course, votes for the CEO. So you see the control factor there.
Right. And so with the corporation, and a lot of people have heard this before, that the stockholders, they're really working for the stockholders, and their profit is the main focus point. So that, in a sense, is how it kind of works as a corporation.
Well, I mean, government itself is a corporation. You know, a lot of people will poo-poo that because it's not a corporation in the sense that Walmart is a corporation. No, I didn't say that. It's a municipal corporation. Washington, D.C. was incorporated into a municipal corporation. You know, the counties are all municipal corporations. Cities are municipal corporations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's, and each of these corporations are under a specific code and a specific set of what's called best practices that are all made by private associations. So you have private associations basically running, or at least making the rules for, all government corporations. So, which are cities, counties, school districts, etc.
All right, we got a quick, probably about 30 seconds here. Welcome back to Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware on Revolution Radio. That's freedomslips.com. I am the Shali Lama. I'm sitting in for Dennis Fetcho, the Fetch, who's traveling. And my guest is Clint Richardson, the Corporation Nation. He's explaining to us how, you know, government works and, you know, together in collusion. I'm just kind of learning this. I'm trying to absorb all of this, and so forgive me if I sound, you know, I've been kind of doing radio for a little while, and I've been kind of stuck in some of these things. So I'm coming into another awakening from my original awakening, which included, you know, guys like Alex Jones. Right.
Oh, so, pardon me.
That entertainment, you know, which I do. I look at Jones now as just entertaining. I laugh more than I know that he's giving us a certain amount of reality, and then he's leaving out in huge portions of what's going on behind the scenes and show. So essentially, he's really kind of giving us a
sense. What he's not giving you is a foundation. It's very important never to give people the foundation of knowledge, only sort of false enlightenment. You give people the symptoms, but never the problem, right? You never tell them the foundation. This is the foundation. This is where it's all at, the financial reports of government. And you know, a long time ago, he actually was supportive and did a thing on the CAFR. It's been, you know, 10 years or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, he's more interested in, I mean, all he does is, I did a show on RBN, or excuse me, on GCN with Joyce Riley, and during the break she was saying, yeah, I got to pay, oh, I think it was $18,000. I can't remember the numbers, but it's ridiculous, $18,000 to be on this station. You know, I do my show for free 5 days a week and have been for 2 years. Whereas, you know, here's and she says, you know, that's why we have to do so much advertising and sell so many products. You know, Jones pays, I don't know, 30-something, I can't remember the number. It's really high to be on the station. So that's what people are paying for. That's what you're giving your money to, is so that, you know, this massive conglomerate, and I'm sorry, but mainstream station can stay on the air. Meanwhile, RBN is struggling and is probably going to go off the air like so many other, you know, platforms who've tried to, you know, compete with something that is uncompetable because it's not mainstream.
Right. So, I mean, I, again, with the information that that's you've been presenting over, you know, I started listening to your program, you know, regularly now. And if not, then I pick up on the archives. And it just kind of blows me away that all these things can go on for as long as they have. And for people to not, you know, really kind of catch on, it makes that, you know, the whole secret society thing where everything's hush hush. Don't say this. Don't say that. Don't let the people really know what's going on. Even the Ron Paul thing. I mean, I'm struggling with that because in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, this is what this guy has been fighting for, the, you know, the Fed to be audited. And then we're finding out now that he has the information and that he could bring it out and say, all right, this what would the difference be between Ron Paul saying, okay, here's the CAFR, and then if he were to hypothetically get the audit of the Fed that he's been, you know, that he fought for or to get.
I wrote two very, very damning articles, all sourced, completely sourced, taken right out of the CAFR, right out of Ron Paul's bills, explaining Ron Paul's career. And you know, let's not forget, someone brought up on my show a very good point the other day. Ron Paul delivers babies. Delivery is abandonment. So, in other words, he's the one that signs the birth certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Why didn't anybody ever ask him about that? So, yeah, we did a whole thing where we tried to get Ron Paul to talk about the CAFR because even in his bill, it explains that the CAFR is the audit of the Fed. Nobody reads the actual bills that he wrote. One of his bills was end the Fed, and it tells you right there that by ending the Fed, all the assets go back to the owner of the Fed, which is government. Okay, the funds don't go to some private bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Eustace Mullins made the big mistake of saying, well, look, there are shareholders of stock in the Federal Reserve, and that makes it appear that there are actually ownership shareholders of the Federal Reserve. Absolutely not. If you read the damn law, pardon me.
That's the thing.
If you read the law,
yeah.
The Federal Reserve Act is very clear. These are non-ownership shares, and corporations, banks, are required to, but it's not a choice. You don't get to be a member and create funny money out of the owner of the money by, in other words, you're required. You have to buy stock in the Federal Reserve. It's not ownership stock. It's membership stock. Big difference between what we're talking about with government buying Microsoft and when a bank is forced with no choice whatsoever to buy stock in the Federal Reserve. It says that right in the Federal Reserve Act. Now, what happened is essentially a big meme where, oh, look, private corporations own the Federal Reserve. Absolutely not. No evidence for that whatsoever, and yet here you have stockholders, quote-unquote, for the Federal Reserve. So it was a mistake, a big epic mistake that's been repeated over and over and over. Quotes are repeated over and over, even though they're false quotes. The quote about from the president, what was it, Wilson, that signed the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, Woodrow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that quote is absolutely 100% false. It was taken from one of his earlier speeches. He was not regretting his choice. At all.
Regretting his participation, right?
No, absolutely not. No, it was a quote taken from his speeches before he ever signed the Federal Reserve Act, and yet it's said to be a quote from after he signed it. So I have all this proof, all this evidence, all this sourced stuff in two articles, and I'll send you the links if you want to post them somewhere, because Everybody needs to know Ron Paul was a big fraud. Anybody who could think that some guy could be in Congress that long and not be part of the Klan. I even have a video of him ducking out of the way when the cameras go by in a Masonic lodge standing next to Zachariah Sitchin. I mean, it just drives me crazy that people put so much worship into a man. Of course, you're not supposed to do that, are you?
Look at the Pope. Look at what the Pope just experienced, or what the world experienced with this vicar of Christ. I mean, most of us are sheep. So we look at Ron Paul and we say, oh, this guy cares. This guy's there. He delivers babies. And now we're just kind of finding out that
delivery. Main word livery means to abandon, to give over. That's what they're forcing people to do, is give over their child to become a ward of the state. Yes, that's what Ron Paul did. He delivered babies in the delivery room. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, that's not a good thing. That's actually a very bad thing when you understand how the birth process works. Birth means abandonment.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've learned by being on the roundtable discussion, listening to your programs, that people don't know what words mean.
No, and you'd be shocked, actually. Honestly, absolutely shocked most people would be to truly see what words actually do mean. And that's the whole, you know, this whole book I've been writing is that specific purpose, just to see, look, every word in the legal realm, which they call the higher language or the king's language, is much, 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 much different and generally opposite to any other word you will be using, which we call the general, you know, general words, basically. So it's scary.
Yeah. So what are your like top three, and then we'll move into some of these the straw man, and what are some of like the top three words that have really kind of, I don't know if you've thought this far, I'm sure you have, with all your hours of research and reading and your ability to decipher this, and that's the thing that really just kind of gets me as you read these things on your program, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I kind of know what he's saying, but and then at when you're done, you say, well, this is what they're saying, and I'm like so thankful at that point that you kind of, you know, break it down. What are some of the big three words that have like completely enslaved us? The ones that are just like, wow, we thought that it meant this, but it really means this.
Yeah, freedom.
Okay.
And free are two words that are very important because, you know, we all know what to be free means, you know. But when you apply it in the legal construct, the word free, you can only be free in a legal border, right? So everything legal has to be considered in a legal way. So if we have a free or a freedom, well, free means franchise. Okay, when you make someone into a denizen, you're freeing them, which means to enfranchise them into a corporation or into a city, basically. Same word. So free means franchise, okay? That's very important because then the next word is freedom. Mm. And we are allowed and given and bestowed freedom. I should say our persons are given freedom, which is the franchise. A person is a franchise. This person can only ever mean status. When you say natural person, you simply mean an agent, a man acting an agent as a person. And then an artificial person, of course, is many persons together as a corporation, association, etc. So person only ever, it only means status. It never means anything else. So that's in the law books, that's in the dictionaries, that's in the court cases. It's not my opinion. Free means franchise. So if I put a rat in a cage, he has the franchise of moving about the cage or the legal borders of the cage, right? So he's free, right? That's franchise. I'm the master, he's the servant. Master and servant is the doctrine of volunteerism. Everybody's crying that they want to live in a voluntary society. Well, I'm going to tell you live in a voluntary society. because you're acting in agencies, which is something we'll talk a little bit about. But you're acting in personhood. You're acting in the name of another, essentially. You've attached your Christian name, which they call the first name, with the last name, which they call the surname. That is a mixing, as the Bible calls it, or an incorporation of the names. And when you marry, it's a contract, and you mix the two surnames to make one corporation. Anyway, the word freedom, then, is two words. Free, which means franchise. Dom, which means dominion, or to have dominion over. So if a government, which is the master or principal, gives you freedom, that means that, well, the principal has dominion over the franchise of the agent, which is the person, its property, which the agent, which is us, basically acts within in commerce. And that, you know, traffic, commerce, intercourse, whatever you call it, it's the same. That's why they call it the traffic code, because traffic is nothing more than commerce. If you're under the traffic code, you're under commerce, which means you're under interstate commerce. So, yeah, freedom and liberty means the same basic thing. Liberty is the most important part of these words is natural and political, right? So political means artificial, and natural would be a reference to the natural law. If I'm free, quote unquote, under God, then I'm following the natural law or the law of nature. If I'm free in a political capacity, then I'm in a state of freedom, which means my state of franchise is controlled by whoever is allowing me to be free within the borders, the cage. So a rat in a cage, basically, is freedom. So that alone took me to a whole new level. The other aspect that people really need to understand is something I just talked about, I think, couple nights ago, was the concept of confirmation. Confirmation and ratification. Confirmation is basically what happens when you make, let's say, a signature. You've just confirmed the fraud. In other words, through your actions, you have expressed consent that you are acting in the property or person of another. Another name for that is dummy, as in dummy corporation. When you look up the word dummy, it means agent, tool, all kinds of different words, straw man, basically. You're acting in the property of another. So when I make a signature, I'm confirming through my actions, which is an express consent, not just an implied consent, an expression of consent, an expression of action that says I am acting in person. I'm acting in the property of government, and therefore I'm bound by the laws of government. Now, what's really important about that is that you – I lost my train of thought. I just lost my train of thought. I apologize.
no worries. It's just so extensive, the language and the – and how it's being used, and I can understand how you can get derailed. It happens to me all the time, and I don't even understand most of this stuff. I'm trying to get there, but with the confirmation is what you started with. You're confirming with by saying it and then writing it down. Does that bring you back, or
right? Well, so
confirmation, ratification.
So during and this is again coming from the courts, not my opinion. Please understand that. Don't shoot the messenger. Let me just read it from one of the dictionaries, because of course legal dictionaries are court opinions, and we'll talk about what the court is in a bit here. Ratification again is another name for confirmation, an agreement to adopt an act performed by another for us. Now remember, the birth certificate was created by someone other than us when we were not of the age of consent. Now the age of consent is adulthood. Another word for that is adultery. So it's legalized adultery. In other words, we're taking God's name in vain. What is God's name? It's our first or Christian name, which we are mixing and attaching to a state or legal artificial name. And so you're literally committing, when they say you're an adult, they're still saying you're an infant, but you're committing adultery, basically. Marriage, legal marriage, is actually called adultery. It's just legal adultery, and that's why all children from a legal marriage where the two surnames are mixed is only a contract of legal origin. It's not spiritual in any way, so the marriage is illegitimate, and therefore all children are what's called adulterous bastards, or an adulterous bastardry is what they actually refer to it. You can look that up. And therefore, every child must be registered because they need to become wards of the state. They're infants of unknown parentage.
So having a child is not, people say, well, you can't have this baby and you're not married. You don't want it to be a bastard. But even if you do get married, the child is still a bastard until it gets till the confirmation or the ratification of the birth certificate, and then it becomes a ward of the state. Is that?
Well, the parents are all tricked. You can't blame your parents. We're all idiots. We're all raised to be idiots. Our parents did it to us, and their parents did it to them. So we don't know. The mother doesn't know, for instance, that when she signs the line that says informer, what that means. The inform means to inform on a criminal or a crime, that this act was criminal. So she's literally saying, yeah, we basically, I'm informing that this child is illegitimate and that the people should be its father. Okay? So, and this is, the problem is nobody's making a paternal claim or a gen claim. The word gens is referring to family, basically. And family, again, is a very dangerous word because the state acts as family, familiarity. You need to correct the birth record is the whole point. But so listen to this. Ratification, again, an agreement to adopt, we're all adopted by the state, an act performed by another for us. Now listen very carefully. An infant is not liable on his contract, okay? So any contract that's made before the state of adulthood or age of consent, whatever you call it, is you're not liable for. But if, after coming of age, he ratify or confirm the contract by an actual or express declaration, he will be bound to perform it, as if it had been made after he attained full age. Confirmation or ratification of a contract may be implied from acts of the infant after he becomes of age, as by enjoying or claiming a benefit under a contract he might have wholly rescinded. So in other words, once we become 16, 18, whatever the age of consent is, 15 in England, I think, Then you start acting the part. You had a voidable contract, had no bearing whatsoever, but you make it unavoidable, is how they define it, by signing your name on contracts, getting credit, getting protections, getting all the things, all the benefits of government. And then, as like idiots, we wonder why we're slaves. We wonder why we have all these laws. Well, it's because the law doesn't apply to us. There is no law for man except that of the natural law, God. But when you confirm, when you ratify, when you act the part of that contract that was made before, you know, in other words, the contract is always void, but not until you void it out. Your actions are an expression of the desire to function in the legal society. Whether you know it or not is not important. Very important to know that your comprehension of the law does not matter. The maxim of law says if you act in the person, then the law applies to you.
And what is that statement? Ignorance is no excuse?
Ignorance is no excuse, absolutely. And it's a very true statement. And once you get a grasp on all of this, you realize that's a very true statement. Very true statement. Because let me give you an example. The reason that they use the Bible in a court of law is because they're having you put your hand on the Bible, swearing an oath to something other than to God. That is a blasphemy. They're actually physically, you know, the Bible says take no oaths. You're actually swearing an oath on the Bible, the very law the very foundation of law that would protect, otherwise protect you, you're basically poo-pooing the Bible. You're saying, ah, that's all crap. I'm not a religious man. I'm a purely legal entity, and I'm here to appear in the fictional person. Right? So remember that
no Bible was there. What if no Bible was there?
Well, you can still affirm. There's oath and affirmation. Affirmation is what a lot of religious leaders do, corporate leaders. For instance, the Mormon Church, the Mormon prophet will affirm because he knows enough to in his corporation soul not to swear to God. He knows that you're when you take any oath, when you take any promise, when you do anything, you're always swearing to God. All right. So you're, in this case of taking it in a legal fiction, you're swearing to God or through God, but the oath is going to what God is against. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is. Your oath is always to God. It doesn't matter how religious or non-religious you are. It's not the point. We're talking purely about the foundation of law here. You take your religion and stuff it. It doesn't matter. Religion is completely separate than Scripture. Scripture is the foundation of all law. Legal is the opposing force of that Scripture or of God.
It's a bastardization of.
Exactly. It is opposite. That's why the legal language is totally opposite. But you got to understand, the Bible is written in legal language, higher language, which we are not taught. We are taught what's called dog Latin. You can look up dog Latin in Black's Force. Dog Latin is literally, in fact, here, let me pull it up.
All right, now, what is this Black's Law Dictionary? I know that there's been any number of them. Where did that, I mean, if you want to continue, but at some point I want to find out if it's Black's Dictionary, Law Dictionary.
What is it?
Yeah, like where did it come from? You know, you get you read from it a lot. You reference it a lot. I just want to find out, like,
it's considered as a non-primary source, so it would be a secondary source that the courts would go to. It's had, I think, 9 or 10 editions now. I generally go to the older editions because I want to find out the more foundational stuff of law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every definition in a legal dictionary, except for the historical definitions, and even those have quotes for statutes and laws and stuff, but everything that's written in the legal dictionary is always keyed to a specific court case.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when you read a definition from a legal dictionary, it is a truncated version of the court's opinion, basically. Okay, so dog Latin, and I want you to listen very carefully. Dog Latin is the Latin of illiterate persons, the Latin words put together on the English grammatical system. You have to understand, they consider us as illiterate because we speak the English language and we don't know its Latin origins. When they speak in court, they're speaking as to the Latin origins of the word. They're going with the higher or legal King's language meaning of the word, which is why it's the King James Bible, versus the commonality of the language, which they call dog Latin. Why do they call it dog Latin? Well, the word werewolf is a good example. Were means man, wolf means head of the wolf. They used to call outlaws, people who were not part of society, didn't follow the law because they were truly free. They called them wolves because they hunted at night. But a dog is dependent. And so the dog sleeps at night because he knows he's going to get fed in the morning. He's dependent on the state.
We got a little break here. On the other side, we're going to continue our conversation with Clint Richardson. Thank you very much for the applause. Welcome back to Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware on this Saturday, October 3rd. That is freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio. My guest is Clint Richardson, and he is of the Corporation Nation radio program on the Republic Broadcast Network. Clint, before we continue, I wanted to play something for you. I have you there?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So I wasn't sure how long that break was, but it looked like it was probably about 6 or 7 minutes. So I apologize. I know that it's at the top of the bottom of the hour. But I kind of threw this together because I wanted to kind of like a tribute to people that do the type of research that read, because that, like you said, you know, read, because it's in the literature. The truth is in the literature. So I applaud you. I applaud you for your due diligence, which most people don't do. I want to play this for you quick. It's a little blurb, musical blurb that I wrote. It's a song that I'm going to work on and try to finish. It's called Corporation Nation. Corporation Nation. Corporation Nation. Corporation Nation. With Glenn Richardson. With Glenn Richardson, chemtrails, DARPA, nanobots, big pharma, the capper, vaccinations, it's all part of Corporation Nation, Common Core, Maltonites, GMO, brain parasites, can't you see, it's coming down. To make you completely frown. Corporation Nation. Corporation Nation. Corporation Nation. With Clint Richardson. With Clint Richardson. There you go.
Wow.
I threw that together in about 5 minutes.
That's truly the most absolute, most sincere form of flattery.
I try to incorporate music into my Sunday program, and I find that people kind of react to that. You know, when you know truth or things come through music, it's more opens up a, you know, mental door that allows things in that you can't win.
Which is why most music out there is satanic.
Well, I can assure you, there's no backwards, you know, in that, without the bass and the drums. But
I surely appreciate that. I'll put that on my as one of my bumpers.
Okay, you know what? I probably want to kind of, you know, make it a little bit better, but I'll get it over to you for sure. All right, so. That was a long break, so I guess try to pick up from where you left off with.
We were talking about dog Latin, and again, they consider us as beasts, as animals. Okay, if you think about it, what the word animal means, it actually comes from the Latin term anima. When you put an L or an AL at the end of a word, it terminates or takes away from the actual word. So when we say animal, the word animal means soul, and animal means soulless. This is why we call it the animal kingdom. And so when we are considered as animals or beasts or dogs, beasts of burden, when you say the mark of the beast, that's actually we are the beasts. It's not some church, you know, illusion. No, we're creating ourselves as the beasts when we sign our name, basically. We become taxable, registered beings that are not of a higher order. That's why they call us animals. They call us four-footed. And I'll read the definition of four-footed here in a minute, but I wanted to read, since I've got it up, I want people to understand very clearly that you've been duped. That I understand now why they call people patriotards, because they're worshiping that very thing that enslaves them through their mind, through words. Words are everything, of course. I just want to read a couple of quotes from actual Supreme Court justices, just so we understand the role of the Supreme Court and of the judiciary, and specifically the Supreme Court, but also we have to remember that the We don't have a judiciary because we're not part of the parties to the Constitution. We are under the 14th Amendment. Charles Evans Hughes, 11th Chief Justice of the United States, 44th United States Secretary of State, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, and 36th Governor of New York. So, you know, probably has a little more information than the average patriotard, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judges say it is. And the judiciary is the safeguard of our liberty and of the our property under the constitution. Okay, now, remember, when these guys are speaking, they're not necessarily speaking about you or us out here who are under this legal craziness. They're talking about the bloodline. They're talking about those people who literally are the posterity of the founders and the quote-unquote white persons that's defined and specifically defined. So we're talking about two different class structures here. We're talking about those who are sovereign or make up the sovereignty or the kingship, which is the people. And then you have the common or people capitalized. And then you have the common people, which is another word for goyim. Those who are born of a nation is the word national. So your father is the nation, your father is the quote-unquote people, and you're governed through that legal government, whereas they are the private people of the states. They are the states. If I say Utah or if I say Kentucky, I mean the people that are Kentucky. We are under that government that they create. They are above the government. So we're acting in a legal capacity. They are acting in a natural capacity. So when they say these quotes, they're literally talking about protecting themselves from us and from other nations. Every state, when we say a state, including the United States, which is Washington, D.C., is foreign to each other. It's a word called several. You've heard the word several states. Well, if you look up what several means, it doesn't mean a number. It means private, individual. So if you say several, you're literally talking about a people that is a state. State and people are the same words. Then you have the government, the legal government, the commercial government of the state, which the people create, and we then pledge our allegiance to the people. How do you know you're not one of the people? Well, because the people sue you in a public capacity. You're public. You're not private. Okay? The people are a private entity. One more. James Bryce, Chief Secretary for Ireland, Ambassador to the United States, President of the Board of Trade in the UK, and Undersecretary of State for Foreign Affairs in the UK. He said, "We have seen that the American Constitution has changed, is changing, and by the law of its existence must continue to change in its substance and practical working, even when its words remain the same." What's he telling you? He's telling you, well, we make the definitions. We interpret in court what the law is. What did the Chief Justice Evans Hughes say? We are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judges say it is. All right? John Marshall, 4th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and a whole bunch of other titles, Secretary of State, etc. It is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. Those who apply the rule to particular cases must of necessity expound and interpret that rule. If two laws conflict with each other, the courts must decide on the operation of each. Okay, well, how can two laws conflict? That would mean there's two separate laws in existence at the same time. There's private law and there's public law, right? There's constitutional law and there's non-constitutional law.
Right.
And we have to understand that. And so these are very important because these guys are actually tell you. He also says, if a law be in opposition to the Constitution, the court must determine which of these conflicting rules governs the case. In other words, it doesn't matter if a law is unconstitutional, because we are not parties to the Constitution. We are subjects to the principle of Washington, D.C. We're not acting privately. We're acting publicly. We're under the public law. What he's talking about is the difference between the private and the public law.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you got a lot of these types of one more Felix Frankfurter, Associate Justice of the United Supreme Court in 1949. He said, "Listen carefully. The words of the Constitution are so unrestricted by their intrinsic meaning, or by their history, or by tradition, or by prior decisions, that they leave the individual justice free, if indeed they do not compel him to gather meaning not from reading the Constitution, but from reading life." Okay? Do you really think, folks, after hearing that the Constitution is foundational? Do you think that any law actually comes from the Constitution? Well, no. The Constitution creates a negative negative aspect, so the government cannot do certain things. It doesn't create law in any way, shape, or form. The courts create law. So you asked earlier, why Black's Law? Why would I go to a Black's Law dictionary and read a bunch of court opinions? Well, now you should know why. They make the law.
Right. It is it's like Obamacare. It's open-ended, and it can be manipulated and changed at will, depending, you know, on the circumstances.
Exactly.
So when we hear stories like, that you'll hear, over at, on InfoWars, some of these other platforms where the judge says, "Don't bring the Constitution into my courtroom." And
right.
People are like, "Oh, I'm outraged. Why would that judge say that?" Well,
you're not talking about the judicial department.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a business. That's what the courts will say. This is a business. Don't bring that Constitution into my court. And he's absolutely right. See, eventually you stop getting mad at these things and you just realize, oh, okay, that's reality. I used to get angry whenever I read this stuff. Now I'm just trying to figure it out and actually understand it in a way that's not being tainted by such other gurus and outlets. I'm not interested in opinions of patriotards, as they call them anymore. You realize how ridiculous people have been. I mean, there's a book, okay? It's called Zionism and Patriotism. And we have to understand that patriotism for the United States by a bunch of useful idiots, useful innocents, if you will, as Lenin called them, those who supported communism in America were called useful idiots or useful innocents. Okay, those who are supporting the United States, which is pure, I mean, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are alive and well. They are law in the United States. So you're supporting, through patriotism, the United States, giving it fealty, giving it faith, giving it belief, giving it honor, giving it oath. You're nothing more than a Jew who has been tricked into Zionism, which is supporting a state of Israel. Well, the whole point of Jewishness is to be stateless, to be an international thing, to not be under some legal fiction. So they've tricked all these Jews, and Israel is an English settlement, and it was they lost it in the 1200s and regained it back in the 1900s. They've tricked these people into giving up their Jewishness, their actual religiousness, which you could call a good thing if you wanted to, and they've tricked them into becoming the synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews but are not, just like we have a country full of Christians who call themselves Christians but are not.
Mm.
It's all satanic. Now, satanic only means adversarial to that which is God or nature. You know, it's not some pitchfork dude down in hell. Hell is defined as the open-air prison or the prison underneath the executor back in England. So the debtor's prison, basically, and that's what we're in, an open-air debtor's prison. It's called hell. And the reason we're in it is because we're allowing ourselves voluntarily, because of the language differential and because of just the notion that we have to have money to survive, we're allowing ourselves to literally be in an open-air debtor's prison, which used to be called hell in the executor. So that's our plight. We're not dealing with judicial courts, okay? That's why they can say that Constitution has no bearing in this court. We're dealing with administration administrative courts. And if you look up the definition of administrative, you find out it's not judicial. Administrative is opposite to judicial. You're in an administrative court. It's an international law of commerce type of court, interstate commerce. It's under admiralty. That's why you have that gold-fringed flag in there. That's not a myth. It's very much a law. You can look up the definition of law of the flag, and that's very important. That's why you fly a flag. So again, you have a bunch of people that are patriotic towards their own enslavement, and so I have a new respect for the word patriotard. I like it. So they call us four-footed, okay? Why would you call a human a four-footed animal? Well, four-footed. Remember, you have to think in the perspective of these creeps, these psychopaths, these Satanists, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, when you're looking at this stuff, you have to empathize with evil. You have to see their tricks and their designs in order to understand it. You don't have to hate it. You should, but you got to understand it from the perspective of the psychopath if you're ever going to understand and defeat the psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
A four-footed is defined in many dictionaries. Any four-footed animal that may be used for labor, food, or sport as a beast of burden. Okay? A penalty, a beast. Hence, to be beasted, to be beaten at beast. Any living creature, an animal, including man, insects, etc., figuratively, a coarse, brutal, filthy, or degraded fellow. As opposed to man, any irrational animal. All right? Now, when a man is an animal, we call him human or sophist man. Human is a very bad word. It's distinctly referring to human characteristics or qualities. All right? It's not the soul. That's why you call a man an animal, and why the U.S. Code refers to man and other animals.
Right, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. They're saying we're four-footed beasts. We work. We're beasts of Eden. Nuttall's Standard Dictionary, the English language. Any four-footed animal is distinguished from bird, insect, or fish, or from man. But remember, when they say man, they're talking about the full man, mind, body, and soul. An irrational animal or a person, rude, coarse, filthy, or noting in a manner unworthy of a rational creature. A game of cards. What's a creature? A creature of God. Okay? So we're talking about a rude person, which is what we're all acting as. We love our sports. What did it say above? Someone that may be used for labor, food, or sport as a beast of burden. We love our sports. Everything's a sport to us. Hunting is even a sport. Killing is even a sport in the military.
It's one big game.
We're rude, coarse, and filthy. That's how they see us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
An irrational animal. You have to be rational and be compos mentis to be free from being governed. You have to literally follow the natural law or God's laws, what they actually call it, to be considered as man. Otherwise, you're considered only as an irrational animal, a person rude and non-compos mentis, which means not of sane mind, not well-minded enough, not mannered enough, not enlightened enough is another word they use to be able to govern yourselves. All right. And again, this is the second you sign a name, the second you act in person and everything you do is an action of commerce, because that's the way they've set up the system. All those actions, even taking your kids to school is an action of commerce. And I can read that definition if you want.
Sure.
We are acting in person or as a rude person. We're not acting as a man. And man means male or female. Don't get all, you know, they've tricked women into not being feminine and men into not being masculine now. They've taken away our virility.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get over and over you see the same thing. So that's why they call us beasts. That's why they have given us the mark of the beast. The beast is us. we are acting as animals. So they call us four-footed. They call us the language that we use. They call it dog Latin, four-footed language.
Wow.
So
that is
like I said, it's not pleasant. I'm not here to give hope.
Right, exactly.
I'm only here
exactly.
to
well,
tell you
that's not nice of them to do.
Well, no. No, and these are not, the same guys that created a country to promote and protect slavery, so what would you expect?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. You mentioned something the other night on your program about the Ku Klux Klan being of their creation. I'm probably going to kind of hack up or misquote, but the KKK was created to maintain the posterity.
Yeah, I mean, essentially.
But that's something that you want to.
Well, this guy named Harry Hubbard, he did a video where he went through, it was called Shamu, Harry and the Killer Wells, and it goes through all the structure and setup of all the Masonic lodges out of the Masonic books. He's an ancient book collector, fascinating guy. And so he found the Ku Klux Klan set up and found out that it's set up exactly the same way and that it's just masonry. And when he talked to Ku Klux Klan guys, they said, we joined the Ku Klux Klan because we despise masonry. We understand what masonry is. And then they find out it's just masonry evolved or masonry light, and they quit masonry. Let me see if I have that.
Kind of like I don't know if it's the same situation as David Duke, where he got in there and then he left that. He was the Grand Dragon, but I guess he found out that it was, you know, he was being manipulated as well.
Yeah, well, and so when you read the what's called the Ku Klux Creed, they for some reason they use K's for every word, including all their officers and everything. Mm-hmm. So you always have the altar in the middle of the room. You always have the treasurer, secretary, the president, or the most high, whatever. And the Klan is set up exactly the same way. They go through the exact same ceremonies, which are absolutely ridiculous, walking in circles around the room and dressing up in costumes. And you know, these guys don't realize they're just participating in masonry, but not getting any of the benefits of masonry. So basically, if you read the Ku Klux Creed, and he has it on his video, Harry Hubbard, Harry Shamu, Harry and the Killer Whales, you find out that it's almost an exact replica of like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's basically saying we want to protect the origins of the country, which were for white persons, which were specifically defined and were the heirs, the legitimate heirs to the founding fathers and their bloodline. That's all they were doing. They were trying to prevent multiculturalism, which is what we're suffering from today. When I say that, I don't mean race, I mean culture. Culture is being brought in to totally destroy the very foundation of what America was. Now, this is not racism in any way. The Ku Klux Klan, I think, was infiltrated to make it racist instead of an original thing. Now, if you look at what they're doing, again, they're just protecting what was created in the Constitution. So if you're going to demonize the Ku Klux Klan, you have to necessarily demonize the Constitution. Every country, every nation, every country out there, every what I should say is state, is a people, a bloodline. America is no different.
We got a quick break here. We're gonna on the other side. We're gonna continue with Clint Richardson of the Corporation Nation. Welcome back to Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware here on Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, and my guest for probably about an hour and a half now, Clint Richardson of the Corporation Nation. He's been gracious to spend time with us today, with me today here on this is not my regular platform, but Inside the Eye Live, Dennis Fetcho. It's a good platform. It is a prosperous platform, and we bring you this program today. So I hope you're enjoying it, Clint. Where did we leave off?
Well, it's it's sort of a continuum. You know, one of the things someone taught me, a guy named Arthur Kobarinski, he said, you know, read this dictionary, and every word you read, look above and below. And so he was like, it's as above, so below. Every word is interconnected. So we define one term, we have to define another, and eventually you define the whole dictionary. So we could spend hours and hours and hours and hours doing this. But I sort of wanted to be clear. I'm not promoting the KKK, nor am I promoting the Constitution, but I want to say that in this understanding that we don't know what a citizen is, or a lot of us don't.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a citizen and a citizenship. Now, a ship is a term of admiralty. It's a commercial thing. So we're sailing in a ship upon the sea, which is commerce. A citizen, going back to the 1856 dictionary, Bouvier, and the reason I like Bouvier's 1856 is because it was actually commissioned by Congress and accepted into Congress as part of the law of the land, if you will. What's important about the law of the land is that what we don't realize is that we are actually considered as land, movable land. So the law of the land means the law of us. Just like a cow is movable land, home is immovable land. So land obviously doesn't mean just soil now, does it? So that's the four-footed notion again. A citizen, one who under the constitutional laws of the United States has the right to vote for representative Congress, etc. And who is qualified to fill offices in the gift of the people. In a more extended sense, under the word citizen are included all white persons born in the United States and naturalized persons born out of the same who have not lost their right as such. And that's a very important statement. How do you lose your right? Well, you become a citizenship. You become a federal citizen instead of a private citizen of the state. Okay, now, who does this include? It includes men, women, and children. Citizens are either native-born or naturalized. Now, the interesting word about native or nativity, as we read in the Bible, is that nativity scene. Nativity means to be bound by the borders, to be born in nativity, to be native means that you're born by the people. What is it, you know? And so we have to understand these words, naturalized. How do you naturalize something natural, something real? Well, if you're using it as a legal term, naturalizing is the opposite of nature. You're making something legal, which is opposed to nature and opposed to God. Citizens are either native-born or naturalized. Native citizens may fill any office. Naturalized citizens may be elected or appointed to any office. So there's another difference. Except the office of president and vice president. So the people will always be president or vice president. The slaves will never be president. All those American dream bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can never be president or vice president. You have to be one of the people, the bloodline, in other words.
Right.
The Constitution provides that the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens of the several states. That's important to note that a citizenship does not have privileges and immunities of the Constitution. It's a purely commercial state of fiction. Okay, that's why the courts can say the Constitution has no place in this court. It's a court of business. This is an administrative court. Administrative is opposite to constitutional or judicial. Okay, all natives are not citizens of the United States. Did you know that? The descendants of the aboriginals,
mm-hmm.
Interesting word because it's aboriginal, not original. The descendants of aboriginals and those of African origin are not entitled to the rights of citizens. Now, that's not talking about citizenships, which everybody is, because that's a commercial state. That's talking about the rights of white persons. Anterior to the adoption of the Constitution of the United States, each state has the right to make citizens of such persons as it pleased. that constitution does not authorize any but white persons to become citizens of the United States, and it must therefore be presumed that no one is a citizen who is not white. Now, I want to tell you, this is from 1856, but it never changed. The only thing that changed is that, as Horace Greeley said, I should read that quote, the white people who were not the people of the states, who were indentured servants, slaves, were all brought to a common and equal state. That's called 14th Amendment citizenship. So we have a citizenship, not an actual, we're not part of the actual citizen, which means a private citizen. So we, the public office of, or employment of citizenship, the agency relationship was created in the 14th Amendment. And basically, it's a feudal state. It was the 14th Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, is the creation of a feudal state.
And there's also the, they put in there, and I believe you read this at some point this week, was that involuntary slavery was abolished, but that did not, it did not say voluntary slavery.
That's what it is, voluntary slavery. Slavery is another word, very misunderstood. Mm-hmm. When I put a drive, a disk drive, onto my main computer, it becomes a slave of the main drive.
That's right. Master.
It's just, you know, it's just a term. Doesn't mean good or bad. A subject of the United States is a slave. Okay, it's a principal is the master of the slave, which is his agent. And I have a whole treatise on agency, which is like 1,200 pages.
Like Mr. Smith.
Agency,
like
which Mr. is everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now we have to know what white persons are. So what we've been trained vulgarly, which is what they call the common or dog Latin language, to mean, oh, well, that means Caucasian, white, specifically white, 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 white. White is just a term. It doesn't mean what you think it does. Mm. And for black people especially, there were white Negroes. You have to understand, Negro is not a term for black people. It was a term for slave or indentured servant. Okay, so that's the notion of voluntary servitude when we're talking about an indentured servant. Contractual. White persons, as used in the statutes, Naturalization Act, March 26, 1790, as amended, were members of the white or Caucasian race as distinct from the black, red, yellow, and brown races. Now, what does that actually mean is the question. So remember, we're talking about a bloodline. We're talking about a specific bloodline that's whose characteristics they define as white. Doesn't mean white. Nobody's actually white. That would be crazy. Right, if we were actually the color white with no color whatsoever.
Right.
White person, here's what white person excludes. A Hindu, a Mongolian, a native-born Filipino, a native of Afghanistan, in other words, a Muslim man, has been held to include a Syrian, etc. In the legislation of the slave period, persons without admixture. So we're talking about admixture of colored blood. And it's all about blood, not skin color, because Obama is a direct descendant of the kings of England. Not a cousin, but a direct bloodline ascendant of the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever actual complexion might be, it says. So, again, not white, not white in complexion, right? It's purely a blood consideration when we say white person. And that is so important to understand that they're talking about bloodline, what is mixed into your blood compared to just a color. So, again, we have a blacks against whites, Chinese against blacks, Chinese against whites. See, they've done that to us. They've made us never understand that all of our blood has been corrupted. We are no longer seen by blood, but by fiction. And a fictional person, a person of the United States, a citizenship, has no inheritable blood. It cannot be an heir. Therefore, it cannot be a private person or a private citizen of each state. It cannot be a landholder. You cannot be a legitimate heir. You cannot be the wheat. You must be a tare, as the Bible refers to it. So you can never be private while you're acting in public citizenship. Your blood is corrupted or in a state of attainder. Now, attainder is not allowed in the Constitution, but that's not talking about voluntary mm-hmm. attainder. Remember, everything's voluntary. And all these people who are promoting a voluntary society, they're usually anarchists, which, again, is another word that we could spend an hour talking about and how that's been turned into a good word instead of a bad word. Anarchy is not what you think. Wrote a whole thing about it. So,
right.
Craziness with the language. The language is everything. We're all completely fooled, completely destroyed, utterly purchased. Conquered and purchase is the same word, by words, by contract.
Whew. It's overwhelming, and it is just astounding how these things have gone on under the radar, but most people are not under the, you know, in the right
public education
mindset. Yep.
Public education creates public mindedness. They'll never teach a slave how to be private, will they?
No. And so Common Core will exacerbate that.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah.
So there are on YouTube you can get more information. Clint's got some videos about the CAFR. I'm not sure if somebody else posted it, or do you have a YouTube?
TheCorporationNation.com is where I keep most of my documentaries.
Right, and then I saw on your. On one of your WordPress sites, you had pictures of all of these areas of the world, all these different countries, and there was just a crowd of Jews surrounding the leader of that country.
Yeah, including our own. Yeah. Yeah,
including our own, exactly. An overwhelming number of pictures. And I guess it's the most recent post with an incredible Zionist Lubavitch, all these different groups just surrounding.
Right. There's a photo. I haven't put it up yet. I did a whole series called Cracking the Cult of the Constitution, which is all the Masonic origins of the United States and the founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Not Christian in any way. But this picture is very interesting because what you see a lot is a leader, a pope, a pastor, a politician. You often see a leader with a Jew, mm-hmm. usually a Lubavitch, giving them some information, a book, a contract, you know, whatever it is. It's always words that are being handed over by the alien, essentially, by the different culture, in order to disrupt the culture of the one it's being given to. And, of course, you give that to the leader, mm-hmm. right? Take me right. to your leader, right? Well, sure. there's this awesome picture, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's an old painting. And it's this horrible, 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 horrible-looking monster, alien, whatever, demon, whatever you want to call it, handing over, and it's got a book open, and it's showing it to a pope, or maybe a bishop. I think it was the pope. And I thought that picture, I should have included it in that post, but I thought that picture was very apropos to what is the true nature of destroying a society. It's the introduction of information, of concepts. Tammy Pepperman's really good about explaining that the tree in Adam and Eve, you know, when they take the apple, it's actually a fig. If you look up the word fig, you're going to be shocked. And it's a fig tree, fig apple. And the tree of knowledge was the tree of concept, the tree of pointless knowledge or fiction, artifice, which is sin. Anything artificial, anything which is not of nature, of God as a creation, quote unquote, is sin. Well, that explains the entire legal system. So we're acting in sin by acting in personhood, essentially.
So we're coming up on a break here. You said that you were good for about 2 hours?
I got about another half hour if you want to keep me.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Now, Greg was mentioning that somewhere in the 12:15, 12:20, that there was a some type of agreement that still applies today. That and I'm probably going to misquote this, but that we are still under the England's rule. I could be wrong about that, but it still applies today. What does the Vatican have? I know a lot of people point at the Jews and say it's the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, and we know the incredible power that they have and the history that never gets reported about their manipulations. Where does the Vatican come in to this? And we just saw the Pope come to America. He was just in town here, not that far away. And where does the whole Vatican come in with this? Is it is there an unholy alliance between the Jews and the Jesuits and the Vatican, the Masonic order and things like that? What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, so, you know, my personal take on all of that is you've got a giant hand, and one finger of that hand is the Jesuits. One finger of that hand is the Zionism that we call today Judaism. One finger of that hand is the Christianity, which is Judaized, Judeo-Christianity, but it's all from the same hand. The Masons, of course, from the same hand. So you're talking about one giant organized bloodline. And that's really the simplest way to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at who's Jewish, and this is very important, we think of Jews as something specific, right? But every single actor that has any power or presence in Hollywood is Jewish. Their direct cousins are all the presidents, CEOs, and kings and queens of other countries. It's one big happy family. So who is Jew? I'm afraid that there's a little misunderstanding about who's Jew, because Bush, Cheney, Obama, all these people, we think of Jewish as a religion, but again, Judaism is something completely different.
More an ideology.
Right, and it's you know, you can't overlook the fact that that someone's Jewish and their direct line descendant is a president, and all presidents are also direct line descendants of each other. You can't say, well, they're Jewish and they're not. You know, if you say Jewish in a religious sense, well, most Jews who claim Jewishness are atheists. So, you know, is it a religion? Well, you know, that's up to you to decide.
David Ben-Gurion was an atheist, the original.
Right. And like I said at the beginning, you know, the Kingdom of Jerusalem was an English, I should say a crown. When we say the crown, I'm pretty sure the crown just means the Vatican. And that, you know, I don't think England ever separated from the Vatican. I don't think any nation's ever separated from the Vatican, including our own. But it was a crown colony or a crown state, the Kingdom of Jerusalem was, until about the 1215, I think it was, when Queen Isabella, I believe it was, lost the throne. It was taken over by the, I can't remember the history, but you can look up even on Wikipedia, you can look up Kingdom of Jerusalem and get the whole background of what that is, why it's so valued. And then you have the International Zionist Jewish Congress in the 1930s pledging their allegiance basically to the crown, to England, and it was England who got back its kingdom, and they called it Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but it's really just the same old claim of the Kingdom of Jerusalem.
Mm.
So again, who's Jew? Right? Then you trick a bunch of actual Jews, For instance, in Germany, the Jews there consider themselves as Germans, not Jews, but Germans. The Jews in Iran, Israel has offered 25,000, I think is the going rate, for any Jew in Iran that wishes to come to Israel and become part of the state, the nation state of Israel. What they'd be doing is giving up their true Jewishness and becoming a synagogue of Satan, basically.
Right, hold that.
So you got a bunch of Jews that went over there because they were fooled and paid to go over.
True. So we'll be back on the other side with Clint Richardson here on Inside the Eye Live, Revolution Radio. To Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And my guest today, Clint Richardson of the Corporation Nation. In fact, when Clint comes back in from his breaks on his program, he says, it was very powerful. He says, "You're in the Corporation Nation," and I was like, "Wow, that's kind of cool." I've been open to so much new information now, and getting so much of it that these little intricacies of it. It's just kind of dawns on you, like, yeah, you're in the Corporation Nation. So Clint is not only very well-versed in this legalese, and I'm thankful for having the opportunity to speak with you on this platform and in the future as well at some point. We talk about this whole bloodline lineage, and I'm looking the other day and I see that Tom Hanks is connected to a woman who was married to a president. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. His wife was a Hanks.
Yep.
And so Tom Hanks is, part of this, bloodline lineage.
Yeah, what was really interesting is I found a picture of – well, what first turned me on to that is that, I live in Utah, so there's a huge – obviously the American Vatican is what we call the Temple Square downtown in Salt Lake City. They used to have a poster. They've changed it since. But they used to have a poster, and it showed the lineage of Mitt Romney, and – it was fascinating because you had George Bush, you had Joseph Smith, who's the prophet, the president of the Corporation of the Mormon Church, which is a corporation soul. You have basically all the presidents, Nixon and on down the line, presidents of Ireland, etc. This was just a very close-knit, direct lineage, right? A couple actors in there. Doesn't show the whole thing, of course, but it all goes down to Salem, Massachusetts, a lady named Anne Hutchinson, who was actually arrested as a witch. Very interesting. Salem is, of course, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. What really got me into the bloodline thing and saying, holy crap, everyone that has any clout or public forum is related, actors, politicians, priests, etc., that's what really got me going on that. And I did years of continuous, genealogy research. And I found a picture of Pierce, President Pierce. It was Franklin Pierce. And I compared Franklin Pierce in one of my articles on my blog with a picture of Mitt Romney. And it looks like Mitt Romney or Franklin Pierce came back from history and became Mitt Romney. They're exactly the same people. And, of course, Franklin Pierce is where Barbara Bush comes from and where George Bush comes from. So that gave again, cousins marrying cousins. And you find that that's just how it works. And there's a very important point that people say, well, that's just 6 degrees of separation. I can look and I can see that I'm related to just about everybody as well. That's not the same thing. Does the blood pour legitimately into your veins? That is what's considered. Again, it's not your relation. It's whether or not the blood is legitimate. The second someone becomes an artificial person, a fictional person, a natural person, a citizenship, and gets their blood tainted, and then they're born, well, they're not legitimate. You see, so most of the people that came over to America for work and for slave labor, the whites, were not legitimate. And they tell you that if you do enough research. There's a very specific thing. Now, the Constitution in the preamble is very specific. Why is this country formed? It is created for ourselves and our posterity. We, the people. Who are the people? Not us. unless we can prove the bloodline again. And we come out of the public and we become private, which is a whole other thing that, if people go to my archives and search for the interviews with KW, we did the whole process, and he actually did get the court to recognize him as a private citizen, which means he's one of the people of the state.
And he had to prove his bloodline lineage to people that fought in the Revolutionary War. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's sort of an appeal to, who are the people and who aren't. It's not real specific. It's just white, which means, white can mean, in their terms, I should have read that definition. It can mean Jew. It can mean all kinds of different things. But specifically, yeah, a perfect example is Israel, right? You have to have a Jewish grandmother to return to Israel. In other words, you have to have the blood right. Well, the same thing in America, the same thing in England. I tried to go to a different country because I was so frustrated with this one. I found out I could only, do it in a very limited capacity on a visa or whatever because I wasn't part of the bloodline. I wasn't part of the people who considered themselves as the English people. I couldn't just move there, in other words, like I can to Israel if I'm Jewish. Or like I can to America if I'm one of the posterity, which means bloodline or genealogy of the original founders of the nation, which are white people. It wasn't just those men, of course. It was their genealogy. So, but you asked earlier about, are we under Roman law? Are we under the Vatican, in other words? Now, when we say Vatican, or when we say Roman law, we're saying pagan law. In other words, non-natural law is a better way of saying it. So a Christian in America, for instance, who is a person of the United States, already a fictional subject, already out of God's purview, according to the scriptures, joins a corporate church, any one of the corporate churches from Catholic to United Methodist to whatever, Seventh-day Adventist, those are all corporations. They're legal corporations. They're not above government. They're below. And you got to realize the spiritual law is always higher than the legal law. So if a church is under the legal law, it can't be spiritual. So you're joining a church is a very unspiritual act, again, not recognized according to the law of God, which we call the scriptures. The foundation of all law is the Bible. And keep in mind, everybody, the few people, I should say, that have had any success in most of this have introduced the Bible as their foundation of law into the courts. Courts and the registrar are very happy to accept that. In fact, they get kind of giddy, from what I understand, because someone actually figured the whole thing out, right? It's like a test.
Well, there's been points in time where I've heard a couple of stories where people that have had like a Bible study in their home has been broken up by the authorities. And when they did the research on it, the authorities said, oh, yeah, well, there was a lot of people in there, and that kind of messes with the fire code. It's really just for your safety. And then the guy said, who was having the Bible study, he said, if I was having a Super Bowl party and I had, 20 or 30 people here, that would have been completely okay. And the reason being, and I've kind of derived or kind of tried to analyze it and break it down, is that if you're in there doing that, that's not a corporate church, and you're not in that corporate church giving them money. So you're not allowed to do that outside of this corporate religion.
In other words, you're acting privately when you're a public person. Remember, you're assumed to be 100% of the time in commerce. If you're doing something that is non-commercial, in other words, something that is a private act, well, then you're going to get in trouble for it. You cannot have spirituality. Spirituality is against the law, the legal law, because legal is opposed to God. Legal is opposed to nature. Legal is opposed to spirituality. Let me read you, just to verify, what's the freedom of religion? Again, this is a court decision, a court opinion, I should say, of Black 4, Black's 4th edition. Freedom of religion embraces the concept of freedom to believe and freedom to act as two separate things. Okay, the first of which, belief, and belief actually means love. Leaf or leave means love, so to be in love with something. So the fact that we believe that government is our master means we love fiction over reality, or fiction over God or nature. Okay, so the first of which, belief, is absolute. In other words, I can't be punished for my thoughts. And the maxim of law says no one is punished for his thoughts. All right, so you can believe whatever the hell you want, folks, and you do. But the problem is you're not acting according to your beliefs. And because you're a legal person, here's what it says. But the second of which, action, in other words, the freedom to believe and the freedom to act, which is action, the second of which remains subject to the regal. And Black's Law says it is so far followed at the present day, which was 1940-something or 60-something. I can't remember when Black's Fourth was written. It is so far followed at the present day that in cases where there is no precedent of the English courts, because that's also where we follow, we get our custom from the English courts, our whole system is based on the English system, the civil law is always heard with respect and often, though, not necessarily followed. So the Roman law is what we're talking about here, is followed to the present day if no other law has made it defective. Okay, so we go right back to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. Now, Bouvier's 1856, again, part of the congressional law of the land as accepted and commissioned by Congress, written law or lex scripta. Written law and lex scripta are the same words. Now, here's what Bouvier says. Written law or lex scripta consists of the Constitution of the United States, the constitutions of the several states, several means private, the acts of the different legislatures, the acts of Congress, and of the legislatures of the several states, and of treaties. It says, see statute. What is that telling you? It's telling you everything that's coming out of Congress, every law that you love or hate, is lex scripta, is written law, and whatever is not written will always deviate back to the Roman law. Whatever is not written in the Constitution is going to deviate back
to the
Roman law.
It's like a backup. It's like a backup, like just in case we miss something, right?
Pretty much. Well, it's more apropos to say we are under Roman law, unless some newer law has been created, because what did the judge say earlier? He said we don't read the Constitution. We read life. We read what's happening. The United States is a business. The courts are businesses. Corporations are businesses. We are businesses. We're all in commerce. So the laws are going to act and be changed according to the commercial value, or the capitalism, the human capital that we are, our future labor potential. That's what the laws are going to be drawn to in the modern age, because we're under a capitalist system. Who are the capitalists? Well, the people. They created the government. They created the United States as a separate municipal corporation under which all the 14th Amendment citizens go as in interstate commerce. It's human capitalism. It's human capital management. It's human trafficking. Traffic, commerce, intercourse. I mean, that's what they call sexual intercourse, because it verifies, it's a ratification or a confirmation of the marriage state. You've just created adultery, adulterous bastardry in your marriage. You've had intercourse. See, the whole thing is commercial. That's why they say it. Legal is opposed to God or nature, or the laws of nature. There's nothing that can ever come from good, wholesome, or natural from the legal law.
And so in one of your broadcasts, actually it was Jan's, one of his broadcasts, you were talking about Common Core And in some of your readings, you said human capital management. And that's basically what the Common Core is, human capital management. And then somebody say, well, how can you say we're human capital? And then you have to manage us because of, you know, of these this non-disclosure of all these things that make you property of this United States corporation, this legal fiction, this straw man status.
Yeah, well, capita, take the L away, and you have capita, which is a legal or a Latin term, excuse me, again, going back to Rome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Capita just means heads. Okay, how do you count cattle? Do you say, oh, look, there's Betsy, and there's Franklin, and there's Milford?
Right, to find out what the state of mind that the cattle or the animals are in.
Right. So the word capita then goes to the word capable, your capacity. So we all have a legal capacity, a capacity to know and understand the law, to be, you know. Right. So our actions, of course, declare our capacity. So again, we don't have to know the law. We just have to we have to be in action, acting in fiction, and therefore the fiction, the law of fiction or the law of persons applies to us because we're acting in person. We're acting in the property of another. So capable or capacity is the relationship to the subject matter, right? And intelligent perception and understanding of the dispositions made of property, a qualification. Sound mind, the attribute of persons, which enables them to perform civil or juristic acts. So again, we're confirming the fact that we're legally capable. We can't act in the person of another in a franchise or freedom and expect that the law is not going to apply to us. We're acting in the property of another. When I rent a car, am I going to make up my own rules? No, I sign a big contract and I agree to abide by the rules as the agent, acting in person, getting the benefits and privileges of personhood or citizenship,
mm-hmm.
The consumer protections, in other words, commerce. Everything is commerce. Everything. There's no exception. Every crime is financial, right? So I have to follow the laws of the contract, and citizenship is a presumed or assumed contract.
So when... And I was thinking, you know, a lot of your shows and different things that I've kind of gathered, little bits and pieces that I'm now learning how to interpret in a way, is that if Bob kills Jim, all right, the people around him or the public citizens are like, oh, how could you do that? How could you do that to Jim? But the system is looking at it as you killed his government property.
You killed his future labor potential.
So again,
it's a financial crime.
It's a financial.
Now people, and you know this is true because rich people pay to get out. They say, well, you can either go to jail, which most of us have to, because that's the only way we have value is through our labor. Time is money. Money is labor. It's just a consideration of future or past labor. So, you know, rich people pay to get out of jail. We have to do it through time.
Well, time they made the prisons corporations and things like that. So now if you're in prison and you're not able to work and then get taxes from you, they've made it so that they can get money while you're in there. They make a certain amount of money for you being in a prison.
Sure.
So they backed themselves up. They covered themselves.
Well, remember what the Fifth Amendment says. Fifth Amendment, if you read it right, is like the worst possible thing you could ever agree to. It says that your life, liberty, and property can be taken away with due process of law. Due process of law is just another word for law of the land. Remember, you are land. So, movable land. So, you know, law of the land, that's a Roman concept. It's a Roman thing. It's not – goes back to the Magna Carta, in fact. So, I mean, it's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun gods, as we like to say.
So when people say, I want my due process, I want my – that really doesn't
mean anything.
No, all you're saying is that I have the right to have my life, my liberty, and my property taken away from me. That's due process. I mean, all you're saying is I'm a slave.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, why would anybody agree? Yeah, you know, I agree that my life, my liberty, and my property can be taken away as long as a corrupt judge says it's okay. You know, none of this makes sense to a wise man, if you will, you know.
Right. One thing, another thing I wanted to run by, because over the summer I watched the second installment of the Teddy Bear Ted movies.
Good stuff, I got to admit. It's funny.
Yeah, it's in the second one, Ted finds out that he is not legitimate. Like, when he goes to marry his girlfriend, he cannot marry her because he is not a person. And then in there, they say that you are actually property and thus, you have no rights. Okay? So you get a chance.
They give us clues all over.
Yeah. And so then they go through the whole process. They, the lovely Amanda Seyfried is the junior lawyer, and she tries to get him to become a person. And then they go to Morgan Freeman, and so they run through that whole process. So everything is good at the end, but then at the
It's very important. Again, I used to be the fool who would say, oh, the Bible is evil because religion is evil. But it turns out the Bible is the most important thing you'll ever read. And you have to look at every word, and you have to define every word, because it's written in a way that's to obfuscate. You're reading it in dog Latin, and you should be reading it in legal or figurative language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Horace Greeley is a founding editor of the New Yorker, New York Tribune newspapers. Okay, he's quoted as saying, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. Now, you cannot take that quote any other way than to get out your damn Bible, get out the concordance, and I recommend a website called blueletterbible.com. It has all the dictionaries and concordances and lexicons all attached to every word. Fantastic source. I mean, it tells you what 666 means. It means Nero Caesar. Caesar is another word for Kaiser, and it means seizure. Seizure is another word for district, as in District of Columbia. When we're born into the district, which means we're seized by the government. You see, you start putting all these things together, you realize why the Bible says render back to Caesar. What is Caesar's? What's that saying? Render back to government who seized you at birth without any legitimate ability to do so. Give it back. Give back your person. Stop acting in a legal capacity. Become a man of God. That's what it's telling you. It's so important to understand that. Go back to nature. Go back to creation. Go back to the natural law. Stop living in an artificial life. Because remember, artifice is another word for sin. Technology is another word for art or artifice. So it's amazing when you start connecting these dots. And again, that's what my massive book is about,
right.
Which is free. It will be free, or you can, get a copy. But I want people.
And what site is that going to be? I know last night you mentioned a site that I wasn't familiar with.
Strawman Story. Strawmanstory.info is the site, and it's just right now. It's just a temporary placeholder, but there's some information on there. But it's just so important to. And again, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. Well, how do you get people to not read the Bible, even though there's a Bible in every hotel room and in every house in America? It's the most popular, most revered, most sold book in history. How do you get a people to not read the Bible? You teach them a language that's dog Latin instead of Latin, and you present the Bible, and you say, here, read this. And people read it, and they say, oh, my God, it's horrible. God is horrible. God does all these things. It's not what the Bible says. When the Bible says God, it's talking about kings, magistrates, which is another word for God.
So how did this? How did that information get through? I mean, yeah, that's the thing that I've never really kind of went back to, the Bible. I always at times think to myself, did somebody, you know, throw this together to manipulate us along the way in a negative way? Or is this a legitimate compilation of good and just things that are that will help us? And it sounds like what you're saying is, yes, it's one of the most important things that you'll ever read if you read it and understand it the right way.
And you define every term as it was originally intended. And in that regard, it doesn't matter which Bible you read, because you can always go back to the concordance and get the correct terminology. But I recommend the King James Bible because why? It's the law. Forget the other ones, even though they're a better translation, quote unquote. It's only better because it's appealing to your what you want it to say.
All right, Clint, give me about like one or two more minutes on the other side of this break, and then I'll let you go, and we'll wrap it up. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Clint Richardson has been my guest today from the Corporation Nation. Thanks you so much for being here and sharing your research and your information. Is there something that you can encapsulate in like one or two minutes that would kind of break down your journey and what you hope to achieve? Hopefully that's not too much there. Take as long as you want. I appreciate the time that you spent with us today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, it's funny, I miss being a guest. You know, that's what I was doing until I got this show, and now I'm the, you know, in the host chair. It's a lot different. But I want to read one last quote from the same guy, Horace Greeley, you know, New York Tribune and founder and editor, speaking on post-Civil War citizenship. So in other words, 14th Amendment citizenship. This is how he explained it. Now, to think of all these guys who are in this quote-unquote bloodline, who are the people, which we are not. Another word for people in the general sense is goyim.
Mm.
Okay, so in other words, to be born in a nation where your nation is your father. He says this. He says, we have stricken the slave shackles from 4 million human beings and brought all laborers to a common level, not so much by the elevation of former slaves as by practically reducing the whole working population, that's us, white and black, to a condition of serfdom. While boasting of our noble deeds, we are careful to conceal the ugly fact that by an inequitous money system, we have nationalized a system of oppression which, though more refined, is not less cruel than the old system of chattel slavery. Okay, so here is one of the legitimate heirs of the Constitution, of private states in union, in other words. What are the people literally telling you that you've been put into a system of chattel slavery? That if you're white, you were lowered to the status of slave, and if you were a slave, you were hired to a state of denizenship. A denizen is to make a denizen, to admit to residence with certain rights and privileges, or to enfranchise. When they say they freed the slaves, they put them into franchise, which is citizenship. All right?
Right.
I want you to understand that you are the modern slave, but they've changed it into a system of feudalism through that, well, not only the 14th Amendment, of course, but you just have to forget what you're taught in public school and on public broadcasting and on public television, because it's all bullshit. It's all designed to keep you public, to keep you public-minded, and to keep you from never realizing that you can actually withdraw all public things and actually be free back under that natural law of God. That's why it's not taught to you in church. They don't teach you what the Bible says. They teach you what a preacher says, and the preacher is a corporate entity, a fiction, a flattering title, which the Bible says avoid at all costs in just about every chapter. So, what is my goal? Just that. Like I said, I gave you some websites. If you go to my my archive site. Mm-hmm. You can and just search at the very bottom of the page, do a search for KW. I highly recommend people listen to those shows, which is a guy out in Kentucky who literally went through the process, discovered what agency is, the law of agency, and that we're all acting in it, which means the government is our principal, we are an agent, and the third party is the state. So we are foreigners in the states where we reside. What did he say? Let's see. Oh, crap. He said something about residing, that guy did. But, you know, you got to learn, and you've got to forget everything you've learned. You've got to take apart the language. You've got to realize you've been trained to speak in a language that will give you no comprehension, but will give you understanding, because understanding means to stand under authority. You speak a language to a judge, he hears you speaking the general terms and applies the language in the only forum he knows how and can, which is in the legal forum. He's translating every word you speak into its opposite legal meaning. You are sincere, he is a fraud. And he's doing that to you when you go to court. This is why you can't win. There's no winning. Mm-hmm. Final thing I will say is the word solution. I like to say this a lot just so people understand. You can find remedy, which means simply that you can have a monetary compensation, mammon, something, you know, money has no value, but it's valued in everything. Everything has value in money, but money has no value. So you can find remedy in the system. You can find legal remedy, but you can never find solution. There will never be a solution in the legal fiction, in citizenship, in person, because it's a contractual relationship. It's under a contractually implied relationship. There is no solution in contract. The word solution, and everybody's always, what's the solution? What's the solution? The solution is the meaning of solution, which literally means end of contract. You will never find solution to all these problems, though you may find remedy. You may get paid off to get your arm chopped off. You may get paid, you know, for being wronged, but you'll never have freedom, true freedom under God, to be free until you end the contractual relationship. Therefore, since that's the definition of solution and their satisfaction of contract, there's only one solution. All the people out there with all the sections on their shows, well, let's spend the last half hour talking about, you talked about the problem, let's talk about the solution. There is no solution except to end that contractual relationship, and that is my goal. Mm-hmm. That's all I could say.
Okay. Clint, thank you so much for spending time with me, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Inside the Eye Live, and I will talk to you, I'm sure, in the near future.
All right, man. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Bye. Okay. So there you go. I mean, these are things that that in all the time that I've spent, you know, doing some blog talk radio, doing Oracle broadcasting. I'm over at UCY.TV Sunday mornings Eastern Time. And when you get to a point where you hear a man like Clint Richardson say, there is no solution to this. You have to end the contract, which, of course, means that you cannot participate in Manon. You cannot participate in the sea. You know, John Boehner said, the Pope of the Holy See. Well, that's the Holy See of commerce. Manon, and you cannot separate yourself from that. You know, this KW was able to understand the legalese, and as they said in the chat room there, there's the corporation, thecorporationnation.com, reality blogger, that's with one G, .wordpress.com. CorporationNationRadioArchives.wordpress.com,
And of course, be on the lookout, bookmark strawmanstory.info, because Clint's book will be, or his, what did he say last night? He didn't want to call it a book. I forget. There's just so many things. But and I don't even want to call it a product, his amalgamation, his PDF information will be there. You can download it at some point. Send him a gift. We don't want to even call it a donation. You know, greatest nation in the world donation, right? I heard that in a movie at one point. But again, strawmanstory.info will be the location for the PDF download. And this is critical information. This is, if you can read his information and this PDF and understand what's going on to a great extent, you can give yourself the edge that you need to, you know, run through this whole matrix, if you will. And so do that. And at some point, send your appreciation pamphlet. Yes, thank you. Pamphlet. But it's pretty big. It's going to be a large PDF. There's going to be lots of words in there. You're going to have to read it. And that's why Clint, during the conversation, he said people have to read. That's why he was putting the emphasis on it, because people just don't do that anymore. I'm not a good reader, but you know what? At some point, when I get that and I send a gift to Clint, I am going to read this information, and I'm going to try to proliferate that information in ways. Because, to be honest with you, there's just, you know, I've just been kind of blathering, you know. I do my program, and I add a little bit of music in there, and I try to make sense of things that are senseless, that are just nonsense. This system works for the posterity of the landowners and the people that created the Constitution. It doesn't apply to us unless you can go through the route of KW and get yourself separated from this contract. Break the contract. You're a private citizen. It's quite the task. It is quite the task from what I'm hearing, and I'm still trying to figure out a lot of this legalese and these things that are very obviously foreign to most of us, and still foreign to me. It's going to take some time, but it's the kind of information that you want to ultimately understand. Clint also gets involved in a lot of the vaccinations. He's obviously anyone who's thinking clearly says, you know, you're not going to stick that needle in me. You're not going to stick that needle in that kid. Really? You know, really? That's what you want to do? And we're not going to have a choice? Talks about Common Core. Look for Corporation Nation on YouTube. And get familiar, you know. Listen to your favorite, programs here, like Inside the Eye Live. And, as I said, Clint is on RBN 7 to 9 Eastern Time. So if you're listening to your favorite program here on Revolution Radio, you can always get his archive over on his Corporation Nation platforms. We've read that out. So I'm going to try to kind of put that song together, that little blurb together for Clint, the Corporation Nation song. Just music kind of drives me in a certain way. And, you know, I kind of want to entertain people. You know, I'm not that great geopolitically. I'll be the first one to tell you. And it's all bullshit, and it's bad for you.
So I try to do a little bit of music. I try to throw a little bit of, you know, entertainment, because that's what it is. That's what Fox News is. That's what Alex Jones is. That's his all entertainment. He's not getting to the, like Clint said, they're not getting to the crux of it, the basis of what we're doing here and who we are. Okay? Constitution doesn't apply, but what does Alex Jones say and a lot of others say? Oh, yeah, the Constitution, oh, they're trying to do this and do that and mess things up. And no, this is the dirty little secret. There's a lot of dirty little secrets, but this is one of the most important ones. This is one of the most important ones. Yes, yes. So, you know, I want to thank The Fetch for allowing me to connect with his audience. I am Cold Reality Radio, Cold Reality News Report, if you will, over at UCY.TV, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. And, you know, I just kind of try to do my thing. You know, we are embarking on an unstable point in history. And I just hope that we're ready for it. You know, I hope that you folks in the chat room are ready for it. We've been hit with a lot of fear. We've been hit with a lot of, you know, the fear porn. And a lot of that could be, you know, this truth movement or the freedom or the liberty movement or whatever, that's been kind of, it's been kind of hijacked to a point where, you know, we're not getting to the meat and potatoes of the whole thing. And that's why, you know, we should be grateful for being able to speak out like this. Revolution Radio, RBN, things like that. More so, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, another integral platform. I think we, you know, obviously we just need to start moving in a direction of finding out who we are, that we are commoners. They look at us as commoners. And once we do that and kind of spread some of this information out, get that corporation nation. Now, that would really look good on, you know, on a maybe, I don't know if Clinton would agree with this, but on a billboard or on a and again, Clinton doesn't sell anything. He doesn't. There's no alternative reason for what he's doing other than this is the realization. This is what is happening. And we need to understand this and we need to drop some of this other stuff and get to the reality. The reality is that we're commoners. A lot of these things, this whole fiction, the America is a legal fiction. It's a mess. As I said, listen to more of Clint's information at his archives over there. His web guy, Drew, breaks them down, takes the commercials out from over there. And it's probably about an hour, 40 minute episodes. It's all broken down. He has great, you know, great guests over there that understand him, he understands them, and they have great conversations. It's not all about the legal fiction, but that's the most important thing, and that gets kind of put out there. And then, of course, a lot of the chemical attacks and all these other different things gets broken down. So take a listen, give a listen, and when his pamphlet is available, download it. And send a gift back, because this guy really, really does a lot of really, really important research that everybody should do. So he should be applauded, and kudos to his part in this experiment that America is, or whatever. So we are coming down to the end of this 3-hour broadcast. Wow. It's gotten cold on the East Coast. It's very, well, not cold. It's gotten to the point where, I had, you know, the layers are starting to go on. Layers are starting to happen here. So somebody wanted a little bit of, see if I can get this going here. See if we can get a little bit of this going. I need some distortion, man. Give me some of that.
Have a good weekend.